My heart is so full this evening to be here in this meeting and to see all of you again. And I just want to say it's been a great year. It's been a great year for our congregation back home. And I know you'll rejoice with us as we rejoice in a new pastorship, eldership, bishopship. And we install two overseers over our congregation this year. Greatest day in the history of our congregation. Greatest year ever. As now we've fulfilled God's will for the establishment of this eldership, to have scriptural leadership within our congregation. And I pray for that blessing for every congregation. Our congregation has been in existence for over 60 years. And now we can say we've obeyed the Lord's will. We've got so many other things that now we have to focus on, and we have to fill up what's lacking. But we can say now, we can rejoice now, that we have shepherds to lead us into the future. As I was thinking of what I could possibly say to encourage everyone here at this meeting, because of the topic that's been chosen, I just decided to share with you what's been on my mind for a while now. Almost 10 years ago, when I went through my first midlife crisis, I started thinking a lot about how a lot of the congregations that I had been associated with and had been a member of in the past had existed for decades and decades, a couple for even over a century, with no eldership. And I started to think, well, what went wrong? I decided it didn't do me any good to point fingers at anyone else. We have the truth. Our brotherhood has the truth. And I'm not going anywhere. And so I decided I better focus on myself. And so I started studying some things that I could do to ensure that the church of tomorrow could have scriptural leadership. Because many of the older people, some of them have already done things in their life or neglected things in their life such that they'll never qualify to be elders. And so I decided, you know, it's going to be up to us who are middle-aged to pay attention to God's word and fulfill His will if the church of tomorrow is to have scriptural leadership. And so I want to share with you this evening, for whatever it's worth to you, I hope it's worth something to you, what's been on my mind for a few years of what we can do as, and what we must do as middle-aged people so that the church of tomorrow may have scriptural leadership. And I've boiled it down to 3 points that my brethren have been gracious enough to yield the chalkboard to me to write down for you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse 11. We'll read down through verse 16. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so what I want to share with you here tonight, if the church of tomorrow is to have scriptural leadership, we who are middle-aged always need to be growing, always need to be showing, we'll get to that in a minute, and we always need to be sowing. First of all, in verse 11, in our text here, God provided a way for the body of Christ to be edified and built up. And one provision that he made was the office of pastor or shepherd. That's what that word means. Down in verse 13, the purpose was to teach every member to grow up spiritually. That's the purpose. One of the very foundational purposes of having a shepherd to lead you along, to show you what it means to grow up so that you can be mature and you can handle yourself without someone leading you and guiding you by the hand. The New Testament in plain English translates this, we must become like a full-grown man, reaching for the greatest potential of Christ. Then we will not be little children anymore. What a sad state for a grown man to act like a little child. Verse 14, did you notice how much all throughout here, actually down in verse 16, did you notice in these few short verses how much Paul focuses on spiritual growth in relation to verse 11, where he talked about the provisions that he made for the church to learn God's will. We have to focus on spiritual growth. It will not happen by itself. Did I say I'm glad to be here? It's been 14 years. Can you believe that? I grew up coming to this meeting all the way back at Early Town. I have a lot of great and fond memories with so many of you in this crowd. Becky and I shared our honeymoon with you, and that's how much we think of you. Then we came back the next year and shared our first anniversary. It's been 14 years since we've been here. So I got to ask you the question, in 14 years, did you grow? In the past 14 years, how much have you grown spiritually? Be honest with yourself. I'd be very sad to have to admit in detail to you the answer to that question in my life. Do you need me to give you the Hebrews 5 verse 12 spanking? I will if you need it. You remember the Bible says, sometimes there comes a time in your life when you ought to be a teacher. You ought, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you still require someone else to teach you, to lead you by the hand. And you still need milk, like a little baby, instead of solid food. How motivated are you to grow in the faith? If you cannot look back at this time 14 years ago, and I'll even say if you cannot look back at this time last year and identify at least several areas in which you have grown considerably within your faith, brother, sister, there is something terribly wrong with your spiritual life. This is how eldership is grown. Elders are not found, like Brother Clint told us last night. They are grown, and this is where the rubber meets the road. On a day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year basis, you set goals for yourself. You ask your brothers and sisters to hold you accountable to those goals, and you grow in the Lord. That's God's will for every one of you. Sisters, you are personally responsible for your own spiritual growth. And we're going to talk about on this side of the board some provisions that He's made for you. But you're responsible for your own growth, even if you don't have a husband or a daddy that will lead you in the right way. Brothers, God has not called sinless, flawless, perfect men to the pastorship. God has called imperfect men to pastorship that have grown to become complete and mature to the point that they've met all of the qualifications that God has laid out for them. But even when they've met those qualifications, those men, they're still growing in the Lord. Paul's practical direction on how to grow, you have to put off. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. I'm going to read that real quick. Actually, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. Please update your notes. It's chapter 4 and verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. There are things that are listed here. We don't have time to talk about them all. Lying, wrath, stealing, corrupt speech, clamor, many other things. There are things that you have to put off. If there's anything that you have to get rid of, you got to do that first. And then number 2, verse 23, the next verse, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew your mind. Change the way that you think. He gives some examples of that. Don't be bitter. Have a tender heart. Forgive. Don't be covetous. And then the next verse, verse 24, after that, after you've changed your mind, you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Once you've put off the sin that's in your life, you've changed your mind about what you're going to do, that you're going to sacrifice yourself for Christ, then you can put on all of those many attributes that to us, when we look at the elder qualifications, look like a mountain that we could never scale. But you take them one step at a time. You pick one, you work on it, you fill that up. And then you look to something else that's lacking and you fill up what's lacking in other areas. And so that's spiritual growth in a nutshell. And there's no excuses for any of us. I tell you a quick story about a man. This man grew up in a home that took him to church every Sunday morning, but gave him virtually no spiritual guidance. His dad virtually never talked to him about spiritual things. His dad never once his entire life told him that he loved him. His mama never once his entire life, until his dad passed away, told him that she loved him. And today that man is an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ. No excuses. No matter what your background is, no matter what you've had to deal with in your life, you look to God. You follow Him. You put on His holiness and you can reach what the church so desperately needs if you'll grow. Number 2, very quickly, you need to show the relationship of Christ and His church in your marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, this time in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. I don't have time to go into great detail here, but I'll give you the outline. Brothers, husbands, you've been called to sacrifice for your wife, and you've been called to sanctify your wife. Verse 26, love your wives. Verse 25, verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. That's the picture of Christ to His church. And that's your role in your marriage, to sanctify your wife through the Word of God. That means you lead her. You guide her. There's way too many marriages in the church where the wife has to be the one to motivate and to lead in spiritual matters. That's not what the wife's been called to do. Brothers, you've been called Now, like Moses, will you stand up and accept the calling that God has called you to do? Wives, you must submit. You must yield. Verse 22 and verse 24, be subject in everything to the spiritual guidance of your husband. And it is the perfect standoff, isn't it? It sure is. Men are to love their wives. Women are to respect their husbands. Verse 33. And it is the perfect standoff. Who's going to take the first step? My message to you today is that it doesn't matter what your spouse says or does to you. God has called you for a purpose. And that purpose is to reflect the relationship between Christ and His church through your marriage, through what you do in your marriage. So husbands, no matter what she does, no matter how many times she fails to submit to you as the head of the family, you sacrifice for her and you sanctify her. And wives, no matter how many mistakes we make and how many times we fail to take the initiative and lead and guide you, you submit to your husband. Because when you do that, you show the world, this is what the church does to Christ. And in my mind, these things are what have caused so many of our congregations to break down when it comes to building leadership for the future. Because we don't pay attention to these things in our marriages, where all of this begins, where the whole picture of sanctification begins. We don't portray that. And then everything else breaks down around us. And all of those other qualifications break down. And we try to point at the qualifications where we say, well, that's our problem. But there's a root issue that's breaking down around us. God has given us a gift in marriage. So let's pay attention to it. And let's do it God's way. Number three, I've got to wrap up. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Sow the seed of the kingdom in your kids. We hear lots of sermons, at least I do, lots of sermons about sowing the seed of the kingdom to the world. I tell you what, we need more sermons than that about is sowing the seed of the kingdom in our kids. Because that's where it all begins. The church of tomorrow cannot have scriptural leadership until we learn that that comes first. We take care of our family first. Amen. Before we move our focus to the world. I mean, the PK, the preacher's kids, we've got slang for it. And I know Clint has talked to me a lot about this. I've talked to this to a lot of preachers and how scared we all are, any of us who are teachers within God's kingdom, about the problem that seems to come that preachers' kids end up leaving the faith more often than you would at least think that they should. We focus on the world and then we forget to focus on our homes. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. In other words, fathers, don't make your children bitter or they will give up. I'm out of time. I better stop. Thank you so much. I hope this has been helpful to you.